What's up, dirtbags? Welcome to episode 260 of the Midwest Angler Podcast. I am Scott Sturman, and I'm joined by Matt Deitch. What's going on, dude?
Oh, you know, not a whole lot. Kind of been a sombering kind of week. I don't like to start show off with anything, you know, too sad, but there's just been a lot of things going on at school lately. We've had some kids lose parents, man. I don't know. It's just been kind of... The last few days hasn't been good, so I guess I'm just going to start off the show and just tell everybody just to enjoy every day and enjoy your loved ones around you, and if you get the opportunity to go fishing with them, go fishing with them.
Yep. You know, I saw a deal, I saw a picture a while back, and I don't think I ever brought this up before, but it was like a picture of two guys or whatever back at a dock after they had gone out fishing for the day or something. And I don't know exactly what it said, and I want to try to find it back. And I read the post, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, my gosh, that's wild. But it just said something like, someday you're going to go on the last fishing trip with your best fishing buddy, and neither of you guys are going to know it's your last one or something like that. Yep. And you know, just kind of made me think, you know, like I actually tonight earlier I was talking to Craig Euler on the phone, and he mentioned that, you know, just him and B-Cav, they just, you know, they just click so well when they're out fishing tournaments together, you know, that he said, man, we're just Batman and Robin, you know, it just is what it is. And I actually said to him, like, I feel like you and I, when we go out, you know, like in a bass fishing tournament, I said, if Matt and I are going to go to a bass fishing tournament on Okoboji, I have confidence that we may not win, but we're going to have a good showing. And I just feel like, you know, you kind of do your thing up front and I do something off the wall in the back. And you know, chances are you're going to catch three or four of them. But I'll come in with that one random or two randoms.
Well, and sometimes we've had it before too, where like we're throwing towards like one direction and you just like are like, you know what, I'm just going to turn and huck it out towards this way. And all of a sudden it's like, boom, you catch one. Yep. And it's just like, oh.
Yeah, like what the heck is that over there?
Was that an accident? Yeah. It's like, let's throw it out there. And pretty soon it's, when you start doing that stuff, you just kind of like, I don't know, like you have confidence with each other, trust each other in what you're doing.
Yep, but whatever the case, you know, it just got me thinking about fishing buddies. And obviously, you know, last year, I think you and I only got out open water fishing together one time.
Yeah, I think so.
Early on in the year, we went to Spirit Lake.
Yep.
And we're going to have to change that. But either way, like you say, you know, don't take any day for granted. And if you got a fishing buddy that you haven't fished with for a while, get out there with them. Get out there with them.
Make a plan. Make the plan and go do it. Like,
that's right.
We always talk about doing stuff, but make it happen. Same way to go, like if there's some tackle you want to buy.
That's right. Because you want to know where you go and buy tackle?
Where
would you go and buy tackle?
I think I'd drive up to Sioux Falls, South Dakota.
Go really?
Down old Benson Road and stop in and see the boys at Dakota Angler.
You know them?
I do know them.
Sorry about your luck.
Sometimes they don't claim to know us.
I don't claim them. Never heard of her. Talked to Josh earlier, and he got some new Storm Skin Gale Blackfish pullovers. They're 100, and they got vests for 75. Both of those are 25% off retail. And branded with the Dakota Angler logo.
They're looking sharp.
Yep. I run a Gale vest branded with the Dakota Angler logo all the time, especially this time of the year. I love it. You know, you can get away without wearing a coat outside if you go ahead and get yourself a hoodie and throw that vest over top. You know, but the cool part about it is, like, the other night I had a Hunter Ed instructor workshop. It was a colder day. I throw that vest on with a sweatshirt. I can go outside, you know, for a little bit, hop in a pickup, go inside, do the class, come back out, whatever. And I'm never too hot, never too cold.
No.
I'm a vest guy.
I didn't
know if I would ever be a vest guy, and I am a vest guy.
I think if you're a hoodie guy, you're a vest guy.
That could be.
Because I
that
think they kind of go hand in hand. And some people are like, well, why won't you just get a jacket then? Well, sometimes that jacket just is too much. And you just want, sometimes like you can throw the vest on and take it off if you need to.
Yep. When and I don't want to take
core
away
warm.
yeah, I don't want to take away from that pullover that they got neither. Like, that's right. One of those deals that, you know, those Blackfish pullovers, they are super warm, to the point where I actually ice fish in mine most of the time. You can be out there ice fishing and, you know, you don't need that big bulky jacket. You throw one of them on and I don't know, that's, they're really the cat's pajamas. They've also got Rapala shad wraps, size 4 and 6 for $5. They're going quick, so stop in there. If you can't get in there because you don't live in the Sioux Falls area, go to www.dakotaangler.com.
Yep.
Use code DIRTBAG at checkout and
save you a little moolah.
That's right.
That is right. What a great Easter present for you. 10% off.
Yeah.
Can't go wrong there.
What'd you do for Easter, Matt?
I went up and hung out at my mom and dad's place up in Ellsworth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Chilled with them, with the nieces and nephews, and, you know, kind of harassed them a little bit.
Right on.
Like a good uncle does.
That's right.
The funniest part of the day is mom hid 4 golden Easter eggs around the house.
You found all 4.
Well, I found the first one, obviously. But we started looking around, and she had it over like a window and behind a family portrait. Or a family picture, not a portrait, a family picture of all of us.
Yep.
So my nephew was looking around for it, and he's just like, and I'm just like, you know, you know, how did I say that? Like, home is where the family is, or something like that, that saying and stuff like that.
Yep.
And just giving him that hint, and my nieces, and they were all running around. They thought it was a sign at mom and dad's house, and they're looking for this sign, and I'm just like, I keep saying it, you know, like, and then my sister-in-law Leah was like, decided she was going to give him a hint, and she's just like, over by the window. And my brother Mike and I looked at her and like, what? Just tell him where it is.
Exactly, right? It's
like, we're trying to make a game out of this thing, so.
Game's over.
Yeah.
Game's over.
We had fun with it, and it was a good time. How about you?
We went to church as a family, and then me and my family, my brother and his family, and my parents got together over at their place, which, you know, I'm obviously very lucky. That's just a short 2 blocks away, so not a ton of travel. Did end up having to bring Grady back over to Larchwood afterwards. But, yeah, just, you know, really, really took it easy, stayed local, and ate too much.
Yeah, what you have for the meal? I know you're not a ham guy.
We did have ham, and I do like ham. I'm not a big turkey guy.
Oh, turkey, that's what it is.
Yep,
all right. I knew it was one of them.
Yep, we had that spiral cut ham, know, with the pineapple with it, cooked pineapple that mom, you know, I don't know if she cooks it in pineapple juice, whatever, but, you know, kind of a sweeter ham. I'm way for that. Cheesy potatoes, corn, pie, cookies.
Everything.
Yep, and it was one of those deals, like, sometimes I forget about dessert. Like, believe it or not, like, I could pass on dessert.
Yeah.
Like, give me an extra bit of potatoes and ham. Like, I'd just skip right over dessert. But it was apple pie. And
you can't pass that up.
Good God, do I love apple pie.
You can't pass that up. I was thinking about that the other day. Like, that's why I knew that it was either turkey or ham you didn't like.
Yep.
And I was, like, having myself a nice leftover ham sandwich. And I'm just like, I was thinking to myself, you know, it's like, what's better? You know, turkey sandwich? Or, you know, leftover turkey sandwich or leftover ham sandwich. And I was like, I think that turkey gets a lot of the attention because, like, Thanksgiving is kind of like a bigger deal.
Yep.
But I was just like, man, a good ham sandwich, like, the next day is the bomb.
I toasted a bunch of bread, threw that ham on there, threw a chunk of cheese on top of it, and then threw it in the microwave for, like, just 15 minutes or 15 seconds to melt the cheese. Kind of a hot ham and cheese on a toast type deal. And, that was really good. I actually ate ham again on Sunday night, and I ate ham on Monday night.
Yeah, you just can't go wrong.
Yep. Well, when you got it, eat it.
You're dang right. Didn't have, like, no fancy, like, French vanilla, like, French silk pie or anything like that?
Nope. Just the apple.
Staying with the American
stuff. Yeah, we're American. American.
None of that French stuff.
French. I see. No. No, I French silk pie. I can go with French silk pie,
right.
But Okay. Okay. Here's one for you, Matt.
What do you got?
French silk pie, French fries, French bulldogs.
There's a lot of French.
There is a lot of French stuff. Okay. Let's sit here and name off all the French stuff that we can come up with right now. And we're going to name our top three French contributions to the world.
And they got to start with French. You know?
They got to start with French. Okay, so we got French toast.
French
toast,
yeah.
Hold on. I'm gonna sit here.
French dressing.
All right, French toast, French dressing, French fries.
Yeah, you said
French
that.
Fries.
French toast.
The French kiss.
Oh, yep. Don't look at me when you say that. You can make eye contact me when you say French toast, just not French kiss.
Don't even think. French horn.
French horn. French tickler.
French tickler. Yes. Yep. French braid.
French braid. Yep. Can't go wrong there. French bread.
French bread. Yeah. French vanilla.
French vanilla.
French press for coffee.
French press. Yeah.
French bulldog.
French bulldog. What else we got there? I'm trying to think of what else French. What do you say? French fried onions?
French fried onions. Yeah. French onion. French onion dip.
Right. Yeah. French onion dip. Yeah. French onion soup.
French onion soup. Yep.
Can never go wrong with that. But there is a lot of French when you start thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. More than what there should be. French. The Swiss, all they got's the army knife. That's all
cheese.
They got. Yes, and cheese.
They got a bunch of holy cheese and a pocket knife with everything on it.
I think there's such thing as a Swiss lathe, like really small precision Swiss timepiece.
Swiss Miss Hot Cocoa.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah, that's right. Maybe we'll talk about Swiss things next week. But okay, so we got French fries, French toast, French kiss. French bread, French braid, French onions, French tickler, French dressing, French vanilla, French press, French horn, French bulldog. Is there anything else? Somebody right now is yelling at their speakers.
Right. French, you're forgetting this. French.
Well, if something else comes up,
we'll think about it.
All right. But what, out of the things that we've talked about there, what's your top three? It doesn't have to be in order, but what's the top three? Oh, well, we forgot the French silk pie. French silk pie.
I'm going to go French fries.
Absolutely.
French dressing. I'm a French
Absolutely.
Dressing fan. And then French toast. I like French toast.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go along with that. I think I'm going to go along with that probably in that order, too.
Right.
I do love French dressing. I love French fries. And, I can get rid of French kissing. I can get rid of French bread. I can get rid of French onions. I can get rid of French vanilla, French press, French horn, French bulldogs. Yeah, I think I'm going to go fries, toast, and
dressing.
Dressing.
Yeah, I'd agree with you there.
Well, that got boring. I thought we'd have to do a little debating back and forth, whatever, but...
With the things that are starting with French, I mean, it's hard to beat those ones right there.
Yeah. How do you feel about pot pies, Matt?
I like pot pies.
I almost didn't think we were going to have an episode tonight. Honestly, I was eating a chicken pot pie. I think it's like a Maria Callender's, however the hell that is. But it was like cheesy broccoli chicken pot pie. And, like, these things are thebomb.com. I'm telling you, they're awesome. I love them. And been eating a few of them every once in a while. And tonight, I was getting done. I think I was talking to Aubrey. And had a little bit of chicken pot pie in my mouth. And had a little bit of crumb. And I, like, was talking to her. And I, like, breathed in a crumb. And I didn't choke, but, like, it kind of got lodged in my throat, so I kind of started coughing. Like, not all at once. Like, you know, I can kind of sit there. It was just a tickle in my throat, and pretty soon I'm like, man, I'm living. Like, I'm not going to get away with just coughing here. Like, I got to go to the bathroom, and I got to throw up.
Wow.
And so I went to the bathroom and threw up, and I'm still coughing, and I'm like... All right, goodbye pot pie. Like, that thing's gone, and probably part of my lunch from this earlier today, whatever. Like, I've never had that happen before.
That's crazy. Like, that happens.
Like, I mean, I wasn't choking. Like, I mean, I felt fine. Just, like, what a mind screw when you're sitting there puking, but you feel fine, and it's just like, what is going on here? But
that is it. That, yeah. Like, when you're just, it's a weird feeling when you puke when you're not sick.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not for that.
No.
I'm not
for that. It's kind of like you said there, too. Like, have you ever had it before where you, like maybe you're eating steak or something like that, and you kind of swallow, or you, like, something, and you kind of start to choke a little bit, and, like, you're by yourself, and you have that, oh, no moment.
Oh, yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
You're just, like,
Craigie.
And you got to, like, kind of calm yourself down a little bit and just, like, okay, like, this is what we need to do. I mean, I've
kind of, like, start doing the suction cup deal, like, with your mouth and kind of...
And I've had it before where it's like, well, maybe if I drink some water in the water, and pretty soon the water's like pouring back out of your mouth because it has nowhere to go. And it's just like, that's when you're just like, you have that moment of panic.
So Craig Euler actually had that to the point like where I think they had to Roto-Rooter out his throat.
Holy buckets.
Like, I think it came from acid reflux. Like,
oh, yeah. His throat was
actually slowly like kind of.
Aspirating kind of, is
like,
that what they
kind
call?
Of like a little bit closing or something because of acid reflux throughout the years or something. And
I
psych myself out sometimes when I'm at a steakhouse or whatever and eating, and like I feel like it's not it's not juicy enough, it's too dry, and like you know, oh man, like I'm really struggling here when I'm really not. And I don't know, I'm trying to come up with a word. Like, it's a small place to be. Or,
yeah.
Or, you know, like, I mean, you make...
It's a tiny world right there. And I know what you mean.
Yep. But, yeah, whatever the case. Probably should have said something earlier. Got a couple things to talk about here with the Bassmaster Classic being last week. One of our very own Chase Bonner freaking goes ahead and wins Fantasy Fishing.
Yeah.
$4,000 prize package, I think, like $2,500 to Bass Pro and like $1,500 Rapala.
Yep.
That was pretty good because they were all talking about it the other night down at the fire station.
Yeah.
And that's walleye territory there at the fire station. And
nobody's winning that on no fantasy walleye. That's what I can tell you that much.
I told him, I said, it pays to be a bass fisherman. And so that was super cool. Chase from right here in Rock Rapids, part of our Midwest Angler Podcast Fantasy Fishing Group, and goes ahead and takes number one overall in the world. Number two in the world, Adam Rasmussen, who was actually a fisherman in the tournament. I've been texting back and forth with Adam Rasmussen all week long, and he was actually set to be on tonight. And he messaged me this morning and said, hey, dude, scheduling conflict. Turns out his wife was out of town. He ended up on dad duty tonight. When we record this here podcast is right when, you know, kids are going to bed and doing all that stuff. He said, hey, can I take a rain check? We've also got that Wisconsin DNR guy coming down the pipe. I believe that's going to be next week. So we will circle around and get Adam on. Whatever. Yeah, I'm looking forward
to that one.
Because Adam's actually a walleye fisherman. Adam's a pan fisherman.
He's kind
Adam's
of a multi-species.
Salmon, trout, freaking, I mean, just an old fish head from up there in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So, really be cool to hear his whole entire story, you know, his path to the Bassmaster Classic and then a second place finish there.
Especially as a non-elite guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, just a guy that won it through the Opens, you know, won one in the Opens, which was, I forget what the heck lake he actually won it on, which, you know, it's like, well, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense for a guy from Wisconsin, to do it. But whatever the case, we're gonna have him on hopefully here in the next couple weeks and get that whole entire story. I guess that's my housekeeping for the week. I also want to touch base again about that spring shoreline cleanup. Our buddy Rod Wotan Let me see here. Let me actually, I want to read it right out loud so that I know for sure that I'm saying the right thing. But Rod Wotan has been a past guest on this show. Absolute hammer. Ice fisherman. Craig Teason Memorial Tournament winner two times in a row?
Yeah, I believe
two times in a row. But actually, after last week, he reached out and said, hey, if you guys are interested, I'd be willing to donate a full day trout trip in Northeast Iowa for your spring cleanup giveaway. So that's badass.
Yeah, very badass.
We're going to have the spring cleanup getaway. Probably here in the next week or two, we'll kick that off, get out there, pick up some trash. Every single, you know, just all you got to do is just fill up a grocery bag full, you know, if you want to do
any trash you see.
Yep. You know, and no one's going to care, you know, golly, all you got is two bottles and an old dirty Kleenex in that bag, whatever. Yeah, if you did if you did your part, you know, if that's all that was where you were, you know, that's better than nothing. We're not here to split hairs. We're here to clean some stuff up. But on the line to be won is a full day trout fishing out in Northeast Iowa with Rod Wotan. And I already told Rod, hey, I'm pretty sure we already figured out the winner. His name's Scott Sturman. Right. His name's Scott Sturman. If we never put it out on the Facebook page, we can, no one else.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's strategy. It's strategy.
Yeah. I mean, we're going out there.
Yeah, no doubt. I just want to do it. I've never been to that area of the state.
Yeah,
so.
That's cool.
Yeah. Yep.
I've been like the southeastern Minnesota. I mean, I'm sure that northeastern Iowa is pretty similar.
Right. Right.
But it'd definitely be fun to go there and hang out with Rod.
Yep, absolutely.
As you know and as I know, I mean, he is kind of some fun.
Oh, yeah. Yep. And
and a hammer on them trout.
I was going to say, he's been known to catch them, too.
He can catch them.
Known to catch them.
One nice thing is you don't have to worry about no black bears and stuff like that up in, well, I guess every once in a while they see a few up there and stuff like that.
I think, when Rod was on, he actually told a story about...
Well, he's out in Pennsylvania or something.
Was that the Appalachian Trail or something like that? Yeah. Nah.
I think he actually like wrestled one or something like that.
Put it in a rear naked choke.
Yep. And told him, hey, now listen here, bear.
Yep. Right before he took that bear's life, he stood up, slapped it on the ass, and said, now get on out of here.
That's right.
Get on, a little doggy.
I'm not in a killing mood today.
Yeah, not Don Cox dispatching deer in a ditch with a pocket knife, but I mean,
well, you didn't have a pocket knife with him.
That's right. Had he, that bear would have been dead.
Yep. He would have had a nice bearskin rug on his wall.
Yep. But. So, Matt, I had a guy at work today tell me that he's been watching a bunch of YouTube videos and wants to start diving into pouring his own plastics.
Okay.
And that's something that's really, you know, obviously taken off here in the last couple of years. You know, I guess I'm not really sure what it is. You know, obviously more people want to, you know, start building custom rods. I feel like more people are painting crankbaits. I feel like more people are pouring plastics, you know, pouring their own.
Yeah.
You know, I think Seth Yarrington does a little bit of pouring his own jig heads and whatnot. Yeah. And I suppose
when you fish with Nugget, you probably lose a bunch. So
that's right.
You end up just being like, I'm just going to start making my own to be cheaper.
I think they call him Snag-em-all Seth. Yeah, I'm not the only Snag-em-all around. But, you know, I'm not sure what it is that that people want to be a little bit more hands-on now. But the only thing that I can really come up with is the fact that it's got to be very rewarding to, you know, to get out, you know, obviously I would think the ultimate would be to custom make your own fishing rod and, then turn around and pour your own jig head and then pour your own plastic and to catch a fish on it. I mean, how cool is that? But,
I think the accessibility of it too is something a lot of it. You can jump on YouTube and you can find a lot of information. There's a lot of groups on like social media that like are specialized in just like building different things, so you can jump on there and you can get ideas from other people. Maybe if you're like, I already don't know how to do this, well, a lot of guys are like, oh, this is how you do it right here, and there's a lot of demonstration videos and things like that. So I mean, just having access to a lot of that information, you know, kind of sparks people's interest.
Yep. And I think right along with that, a lot of that information is out there. But nowadays, you don't have to search too long to get started making custom rods, to, you know, to find the molds, to start pouring your own, plastics. All that stuff is relatively inexpensive, you know, in the grand scheme of things. I'm not saying that it might not cost you,
You're going to have to buy it in bulk and stuff like that, because you're going to make mass quantities of it, and then, but in the end, end up saving yourself money.
Right, right. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just, for me personally, like, I guess, it's not something I personally would want to do. I did want to go out and buy or make my own custom rod. I guess I would like to see the process of pouring my own plastics. I would like to pour some jig heads once, to do it once, to see the whole entire process and be like,
I
know why I pay for them.
My dad, growing up, he had some like sinker molds and stuff like that. And I can remember doing that. You know, they always say in a well-ventilated place, but we always did it down in the basement. I come to think of it, and that could probably be maybe some of the why I have some of the issues that I have. But
your room was right on top of it, wasn't it?
Well, no, like, we were standing right there above it pouring, so
yep.
We were inhaling them lead fumes like, you know, like nobody's business. But there's different things out there that a person can do. And like, he had like egg sinker molds, and man, we used them all the time. So,
yep.
I mean, it was nice being like, oh, okay, we can just go pour some more and don't have to go to the store. And that's another thing about make your own tackle. There's a lot of times you can order things online, like at DakotaAngler.com, and use code Dirtbag, to save you some money. But other places, like, you might not have access to that. So building your own stuff might be the way to go.
Yeah. What was that?
Somebody crashed down here, or what?
We may have had a fatality.
I don't know what that was.
Is that under the podcast table or on the side? Or
it must have been on the underneath of it.
Hold on.
Is it this box right here?
I don't think so.
Any of that? Was it the sign? I don't know. It's not I can tell you this much. It's not a pheasant in the window well. So.
And that's all that really matters.
Right.
Huh.
Well, maybe the mouse got in the house now.
That was wild.
I thought maybe Aubrey fell in the room or something like that. So,
all right. Well, all
right. We're
back. Don't know what was going on.
Live action.
You know, one thing that I'll talk about, you know, like these do-it molds. I think you can go online for $50 to $100. You can buy these do-it molds. And I think that there's a lot of people doing it. I think that there's people going online and finding these molds. And they're getting them, and they are going ahead and pouring, you know, what they believe is, you know, something super rare and proprietary, and you know, then thinking that they all of a sudden have a bait business and you know, they're going to take these to market and whatever. But you're literally selling a bait that, you know, a bait from a mold that, you know, seven other people in you know, the five county area are also pouring for themselves too. And, you know, you don't have anything proprietary there. You know, I know that there's a lot of people that buy, you know, just regular molds online and, you know, they want to supplement, you know, do it for fun and, you know, do it for friends and, you know,
you can play around with the plastics.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, add your own scents. And I mean, there's things you can do to like come up with your own colors and everything. But like at the end of the day, the design and the shape itself is still
right.
A design and a shape that's
many
already,
other people are pouring. Like, you know, I guess I was just talking to Alex Christensen about this. You know, Alex Christensen, Stellar Custom Rods. Build some great rods over there. He also has been getting into pouring plastics, you know, buying molds online, you know, trying to find stuff that, you know, not a ton of people have, you know, stuff that kind of fits his own fishing style. And, you know, then on top of it, I think he'll make some extra, throw them in a baggie, when he's selling, you know, fishing rods, he'll, you know, sell a couple of those bags too. But, you know, I realize Alex doesn't think that he's going to be the next Scott Brower with this. And, you know, that's one of the things that sets a guy like Scott Brower away from other people is Scott Brower is actually a mold maker. The guy studies bugs and then he takes his machining skills, makes, you know, molds that are custom to him. Like no one else has those. They might have, you know, somebody else might have something that's relatively in that shape or, you know, looks similar. But I mean, when he gets one, I mean, that's it. That's him. That's, you know, that's Mackie Plastics. There's nothing else like it out there. You know, and a lot of these other, you know, bigger companies are doing the same thing too. But a lot of these smaller plastics companies are just buying molds that everyone's getting. They're pouring them. And, you know, don't get me wrong. Some of these dudes are coming up with killer cool colors and, you know, swirls and flakes and whatever. You know, they're kind of putting their own twist on it. But, you know, and I'm not knocking them. I'm not saying that they're, you know, not going to sell any, not going to do whatever. But, you know, if you want to get big into that plastic deal, you're going to have to make your own molds.
Yeah.
You're going to have to figure out something that's going to set you apart from the other people. Yeah. You're going to have to come up with something proprietary. Otherwise, you know, man, the Midwest Angler Flutterbug sure is awesome. Oh, man, I saw that exact thing on Do It Molds. Like, you know, guess what? Dude across the street's now making
something just like it.
Right, you know.
It's just like it goes. That's why all these big companies come out with new baits every year, too. I mean, it's not like they're just like, well, we got what works. And it's
right.
Like every year they're, you know, designing and coming out with new products that a lot of times don't look like anything else. I mean.
Yep. So, I don't know. It just my two cents. You see a lot of these bait companies kind of pop up. And like I said, I wish them all the best. I truly, you know, I wish every single person that was coming up with a fishing company could, you know, have success and make an honest living out of it and do whatever. But it's just, it's not always realistic. And
at the end of the day, too, like the time that you're putting into it is worth something, too.
And right.
It's just like, right. Ooh.
I don't know. It seems like this past year, there's been more guys that are diving into pouring plastics than there are guys that are diving into trying to start up a Midwest-based fishing podcast. For a little while there, that was wild.
Right. Yeah, there was a lot. So
about every single week, there was a new podcast coming out, and about every single week, there was another one quitting. So,
and then every single week, you guys got to put up with us.
Yeah, I think all those guys were looking at us like, oh, those guys are freaking morons. Well, I think that, I'll be honest, I think that there's a lot of people that listen to our banter back and forth and they realize that we don't have a whole lot into our equipment. And I think that they are kind of thinking like, oh, we can do this better than these guys. And you're right. You probably can.
Yep. But not as consistent.
Not as consistent. I challenge you to go 5 years and do one every single week.
We might get somebody that says, man, these guys are bad. Hey, but we're consistently bad.
Consistently bad. Take that. Take that. But, you know, I don't know. Honestly, Matt, I don't really have a ton more to talk about today. Obviously, like I mentioned earlier, we really kind of had all of our eggs in the Adam Rasmussen basket until earlier today when he reached out and said that wasn't going to be able to work for him. Life happens. And
one other thing that I want to talk about is the James Watson, you know, his situation going on right now. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he...
I just saw that.
Yeah, he got... So for those of you guys that don't know, James Worldwide Watson... MLF, Bass Pro Tour, angler, and, just really been very critical these last, probably this last year, he's really gotten vocal, about the rule changes. Your headphones kind of acting wonky too there for a little bit.
They were for a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, just being very vocal about, you know, all the rule changes with Bass Pro Tour. You know, we've got entry fees. We don't got entry fees. Oh, we're back to entry fees now.
Then there was days where, like, you would have camera. They would have camera boats, and other days they wouldn't have camera boats.
Yep. And, live certain days, and just, you know, wild inconsistencies. You know, then I think that all of a sudden, going into this year, I think that they said that they were going to axe the bottom 20 people like that were on the Bass Pro Tour, or something like that. Or I don't know, they, you know, going to make a different feeder system, and they were going to drop some people and just do different things. And basically, in a roundabout way, what it's really coming down to is all these big things that they promised these anglers to get them to jump ship from bass. They're kind of finding out that there's a reason why Bass went with the model that they're doing. They've been doing it a long time. You know, you just sometimes you can't reinvent the wheel all the time. I mean, whatever. It's cool that they want to try to push the envelope and try something different and whatever. But just
– And James went so as far as to get some shirts and some hats made
merch.
Up. Some merchandise that it was hashtag FBD, and he said fish boat docks. But I think everybody kind of all knew that he implied giving the F to Boyd Duckett. So
yeah, Boyd Duckett, kind of the kingpin there with Major League Fishing. I think he's willing to let everyone there at Major League Fishing go down in flames as long as he financially comes out ahead. And I think that was the biggest problem. Boyd Duckett went out crappie fishing on a lake that was supposed to be off limits. He didn't end up getting any sort of penalty. Like, what was it, a four-minute penalty or something like that? Yeah,
like a four-minute penalty.
Yep, because he was crappie fishing. He wasn't bass fishing, so no big deal. The guy that breaks the rules is also the guy that needs to enforce the rules, who creates the penalties. And
So now Watson... what did you say? He's suspended for
all the way through 2025.
Yeah.
All the way through 2025 because he made the FBD hats and kind of got vocal on a couple of videos and whatever. I mean, I get at the end of the day, it's everyone's choice to not fish Major League Fishing if they don't want to. But, honestly, that's kind of some freaking Kim Jong Un, Vladimir Putin crap. In my personal opinion, you know, people are you know, anywhere, you know, disgruntled employees, you know, they're allowed to air their grievances, I guess, within reason. And you know, I think you know, the anglers are trying, but. You know, you can't rock the ship too much because at the end of the day, you know, you lose your job. And obviously James Watson here now officially lost his job. I mean, So he can resubmit his application to get his job back at the end of 2025. But, I think it's going to be Bassmaster opens for old Watson.
Yeah. When you're a tournament fisherman making your living off of fishing tournaments and you get suspended from fishing tournaments.
Right.
Has there been
an open yet this year?
Yeah, there's been opens.
There's been opens this year. He might be able to still get into the TNPFL, the National Professional Fishing League. I don't know if they've had an event yet this year.
I haven't seen if they have.
I don't know. So he could, maybe there's still time for him to get in with that, but yeah, whatever the case, pretty wild stuff up there on Major League Fishing. Not surprising to us. Mm-hmm. If you've listened to this show for any amount of time, you know how we feel about Major League Fishing and everything that comes along with that crap. But yeah, you got anything else?
I really don't, man.
You don't really. That's all right. Like I said earlier, we had Adam Rasmussen on.
Brought the boat over today to get her. It's all ready to go.
Yep.
Pick it up tomorrow.
Ready to rock.
Half tempted just to keep on driving east after I pick it up.
Not a bad idea. just go drop it in. Go drop it in. Catch a fish, load her back on the trailer, say you did it.
That's right.
Yep. You did it in early April. So this week's good news stories of the week brought to you by our friends over at Freedom Brew in Larchwood, Iowa. Austin, Brianna, and the whole entire gang over there at Freedom Brew run the absolute best coffee shop. If you are in the area, in the tri-state area, swing on by there.
Did you see
we actually, thing? We had a guy.
Did you see that they got?
Dalton Nelson. Dalton Nelson. I'm not sure where exactly Dalton's from. Let me see. But
see, no. They got their spring list out, their spring menu.
Oh, really? Tell me more.
Oh, they got a white rose latte, a honeybee latte, a white chocolate lavender latte, a lumberjack latte.
Really?
Yeah, you can only wear flannel if you drink, if you order
I'm for that,
that one. So that one's the perfect combination of maple, vanilla, and cinnamon.
Ooh,
it will maple. Remind you of French toast.
Really? See?
French.
Lumberjack French. Latte.
Yep. Coming in with that French.
Speak to me.
They got a sweet blackberry latte.
I wonder if they use the French press and to make the coffee
I'm
for that
sure
one.
They do.
Yeah.
And then their spring drinks without coffee, they got berries and cream frappe, strawberry rose lotus or Red Bull, and a rosy peach lotus or Red Bull.
Nice.
So nice little options there.
Heck yeah. No, like I mentioned, Dalton Nelson, fellow dirtbag. I'm not 100% sure where Dalton is, but he actually sent a picture of a drink on March 28th, said, officially a dirtbag. You guys are awesome. Love the show. Well, we love you too, Dalton.
Yep.
Thanks for the picture, and thanks for swinging in to Freedom Brew. I guarantee you he loved every single second of that drink. But
yes, he did.
But my good news stories this week, you know, last week I talked about getting out and supporting the local fire departments and those type of organizations that they're doing a lot of fundraisers right now for them. I just want to give a shout out to everyone that made the Rock Rapids Fire Department fundraiser an absolute awesome success. We did right at 500 people.
Yeah, it was packed in there,
absolutely
man.
Packed. And I think Eric and Ramrod and Patrick and Justin, I think they made right at like 900 pulled pork sandwiches. Me and Brady were just running back and forth, rocking and rolling, cheesy potatoes, Oreo fluff, more sandwiches, and it just you
it's
know
a well-oiled machine.
Yep. The only complaint, needed to get it done just a little bit earlier. But we're still working through kinks, but...
You can never, like, if there would have been 300 people, it would have went faster.
Yep.
There would have been, I mean, but it was a good problem to have that had as many people that you did, so it did take a little... I mean, when you get 500 people in a place and you're trying to play bingo, it's tough. It's not easy. It's not just like, boom, you go, boom, you go, boom, you go. I mean...
I wonder if that's the biggest event that's ever been in our community building.
It has to be.
That's kind of what we
had
thinking.
To be at capacity, like close to being capacity.
Yeah, don't tell the fire marshal, but I'm pretty sure we were probably over.
Right.
But the coolest thing about that is I'm pretty sure there's some sort of a technicality for every single firefighter you actually have in the building. You can have an extra 25 people,
yeah.
So I think we've got it.
Right. Well, you know, we're...
It's the fine print.
We're fire marshal biologists, too.
You,
so.
Right, right. I'm a...
Building biologist.
State fire marshals... they report to me.
Yes.
They report to me. Don't forget it.
No, it was an awesome event. It was a good time. And
thank
Tanner's
you.
Pulled pork.
Ooh. Yeah. That old boy can make some pulled pork. We made 42 pork butts and hadn't had some left over, but better safe than sorry. We knew going into it that we wanted extra food. You could have gotten about 8 more scoops of Oreo fluff, and we closed her down on the cheesy potatoes, but everyone got food, and that's... That was our goal. Got a guy at work who's on Little Rock Fire Department. He said that their fundraiser over there in Little Rock, Steak Supper, also was very successful. So, it's just a good thing. You know,
yeah,
I think
awesome
the firefighters
thing.
Have fun doing it. But, you
tons
know, obviously.
Of prize. Well, and all, that was another thing, too, that took a little bit of time was there were so many prize
54
raffles.
54 raffle prizes.
So, I mean, I guarantee if somebody just said that it went a little long, not saying they complained, that they just said that it went a little long, they probably didn't win a prize. So
that could be too. But you know, like if you've got kids and whatnot, you know, it is the night before Easter, so everyone's probably got someplace to be. You know, you're no sleeping in, and
well, yeah.
You know, it just It's a challenge to get it all done in that time. And like I said, we still got a lot of kinks to work through, you know, only our second year doing it, but, I've got some ideas on a way to speed that up a little bit. Right now we're serving food from 5:30 to 7:30 and bingo at 7:30 to, you know, I guess 9:30, 9:45. You know, really, truly with us working the food line from 7 to 7:30, really all it was more kids coming up and getting more fluff.
Food, yeah.
So, I think at that point, maybe we could kick off bingo at 7, you know, maybe instead of serving from 5:30 to 7:30, serve from 5 to 7.
Yep.
Get bingo started off a half hour earlier. And, you know, just a couple more people up there, you know, to help, would go a long ways. One other good news story that I want to, throw out there is, Iowa Hawkeyes get the dub over LSU last night. And, you know, I want to give a shout out to the Iowa Hawkeyes, but I just want to give a shout out to, the state of Iowa. And you know, I'm not knocking any other states right now. Everyone's making, a movement towards it right now. But, when you look at the state of Iowa and what it's done for women's athletics, Iowa Hawkeye women obviously have a absolutely spectacular team. Iowa State women, with Audie Crooks coming through, are going to have an absolutely spectacular team, and they're going to be a lot of fun to watch these next couple years. But then you also add the fact that Iowa Hawkeye women's wrestling is the pinnacle of women's wrestling right now. And, you know, just a really cool time to be young.
I think the Hawkeyes, the women's field hockey team, is one of the best in the nation, too.
Is it?
I think they won the national title, like, last year or the year before or something.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, but, so you know, just what I'm saying, like, you know, women's wrestling is still in its infancy at a Division I college level. And the fact that Iowa is, you know, in their first year or second year out the gate, you know, just where it needs to be. And it's just cool. You know, like, I talk a lot to my neighbor, Jeremy Kay, and he's got a daughter who's, I don't know, elementary, middle school. I'm not exactly sure how old she is, but, you know, she's really getting into, you know, the basketball thing, you know, with this whole Caitlin Clark. And, you know, it's not just young girls from Iowa, but it's young girls across the nation. And last night they did 12.3 million viewers for that LSU, you know.
Did you see what the ticket for the Final Four game is going for? It's like $600 to $1,000 for a ticket to the Final Four game.
And last year it was $60.
For like 2019, I think it was $35.
Yeah.
And then last year was under $100.
Really?
Yep. And this year, look at what it's at.
Nope, it's a cool thing. Hope it keeps trending in that direction. And you know, I one other thing that I want to, you know, last night, you know, such a revenge game with LSU and whatever. But I really got to say, Angel Reese and Mulkey and you know, all the ladies from LSU, man, I wanted to see them lose. I wanted to see them lose bad. But really, truly, I think everyone was respectful out there for the most part.
Yeah, they kept their composure for the most. Like, Mulkey, like, she wasn't doing her normal antics where she was running out onto the floor. After the game, she had nothing but great things to say about the whole team, not only Caitlin Clark, but the whole team itself. And I don't know. I think last night was just a big win for them, and just for Lisa, for Lisa Bluter and the whole coaching staff to finally get the credit that they deserve.
Exactly.
I mean, when you have a great player like Caitlin Clark on there, that's who's going to get a lot of the limelight. But man, that coaching staff is, I mean, it's one heck of a coaching staff, and it's fun to watch them.
Yep. No, I'm enjoying it. So.
Yep. Well, that was
Did I?
Yeah.
Well,
you're going with the fire thing, and I was like, well, and I was going to say Chase earlier, too. So you kind of just took them
I
all.
I just took
That's
everything
a lot of,
from
a lot
you.
Of good ones. So I don't know. I'll just maybe, since Easter is over, I'm just going to give a shout out to my nieces and nephews. You know, I'm just going to do that for as my good news stories. It was fun hanging out with them, and they're involved with a bunch of stuff. My niece Hallie, she actually listens to the show quite often, and she's got track season going on up there now, so good luck with that. My niece Kelsey, she's going to be busy with softball here pretty soon. My nephews Coy and Easton, they're just always a blast to hang out with, and
and they're cooler than their dads.
Well, yeah. The funny thing is, the other day, Coy comes in the house, and when Brant got there, we were standing there doing something, and
Coy's like, yeah, Matt, you're my favorite uncle. And Brant was just kind of like, oh, thanks a lot, Coy. Mm-hmm. So
Brant needs more of that in his life.
He just needs to be humbled a little bit.
That's right. That's right. So, all right, guys, that was episode 260. We appreciate every single one of you guys, and especially those of you that have been following along for all 260 episodes. Yeah, we've got, I'm 99.9% sure that we should have either the Wisconsin DNR guy on or Adam Rasmussen next week. We're going to see how that goes. Maybe we'll possibly record two shows next week and can one for the following week. Yeah, well, I'll be in touch with both of them, but should have some really cool shows coming down the pipe. Yeah, we appreciate you guys, and we'll see you next week. Later.